We welcome in one of my all-time favorites. I'm going to see him next week out in the desert. He is one of our college hoops aficionados. You can catch him on Fox Sports Radio. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Aaron Torres, as we are now closing in on the final week of the regular season. Aaron, going to shed some light on what's going on in the world of college hoops. What's happening, bro?
JJ, love coming on with you. It's always my pleasure. Shout out to all my guys who listen to you. My boy Billy, who listens every day at work. Shout out to them. But shout out to you, man. You're killing it. I'm so happy to see your success. And I'm just happy to be on with you, my man.
Listen, I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the pleasantries. But you know this, Aaron. The audience is counting on us to get right down to business. So let's do it,
okay,
man.
Let's do it.
Let's get right down to business. Talk some college hoops in Seton Hall, first off. They lose at home. I'm not the least bit surprised. Because, number one, Villanova's a great team. I mean, look at the pedigree. Look at the head coach. Look at the talent they have on that team. And it's tough when you're dealing with two top 15, two top 20 programs to go and sweep a series. But senior night, do you think it actually can be a negative for the guys being honored? Because I certainly look at it that way. I mean, we've seen plenty of instances. I saw it yesterday with Lamar Stevens. You see it with Miles Powell. I feel like you get so emotional. You have so many things going through your mind. That's something I'm going to be mindful of next year, Aaron. A lot of these senior games, I feel like I should be going with the road team in a lot of these spots.
Well, you're talking to somebody that was adamant that the Marquette first half line against Seton Hall on Saturday was a lock, because, come on, how's Marcus Howard going to lose on senior day? They lose by 20. So that's a very astute observation from you, JJ, because that was actually my exact same thought as I watched the early portion of the Seton Hall game today. Was like, you know, I think in theory, like, we think, you know, like a casual fan does, like, there's no, you can't, Miles Powell can't lose on senior night. But like you said, I think that it takes a little wind out of the sails. I think it gets you a little off of your normal pregame routine, and obviously the entire team. Sometimes your lineup gets tinkered with to get a senior in the lineup. I'm 1,000% on board with you with this, JJ. Is it something I never really noticed until this season? But it does seem like these teams are coming out a little flat to start these big games on senior night.
Big East's got three elite teams, and we're going to see how it shakes out over the weekend. If Seton Hall can beat Creighton and win the Big East regular season outright, Villanova made quite the statement after what happened Saturday against Providence, and Creighton is no longer a sleeper. They're a legit team. Out of those three, Aaron, Villanova, Seton Hall, Creighton, who do you think at this point is best positioned to have success in the tournament?
I still think it's Seton Hall. I really do, and it's because they play really good defense, and I do think the size gives everybody a little bit of an issue. Romaro Gill, I think, has been one of the pleasant surprises in all of college basketball. Having Sandro Mamaki, I don't even know how to say his name. It's 4 years, I still don't know how to say his name. I'm just going to say Sandro. Like, it's a stylistic matchup. And, you know, the thing about Seton Hall, and I know you know this, JJ, is that it's not just Miles Powell. He's the headliner. He's the star. But they can get scoring from all five positions. You know, Creighton is an incredible team. It's been an incredible story. I know a couple of guys out there on the staff, and I think they're even surprised at how well they've done. But while they do have real stylistic advantages, size, speed, quickness, shooting, they're also at a big disadvantage in that they just don't have, excuse me, I think I said size is one of their advantages. It's definitely not their advantage, but, you know, speed, quickness, shooting is their advantage, but the disadvantage is that they don't have very much size down low, and that's been kind of kryptonite for them. Villanova, although historically they're a great shooting team, they've really actually been an up-and-down shooting team for most of this year. So I think Seton Hall, although they lost on, I guess it was Wednesday night, I do think they're the most consistent out of the three. I think they have the least kind of you know, weaknesses out of the three. And so to me, I think they're the one that is best suited, in fact, to make a deep run in March.
Okay, Aaron, the Rutgers alum and the Rutgers fans don't know what to do with themselves because they've not made the tournament since the early 1990s. They have four wins over ranked opponents, but we've seen this in the past, and you know this well. When you don't win on the road, when you don't win in neutral sites, the tournament committee, more often than not, is going to hold that against you. I think Rutgers is in. I think they need to win one of their next two in order to feel safe. How would you handicap their tournament chances so far in my opinion, for my money, the best league in America in the Big Ten?
Yeah, it is the best league in the Big Ten, and that is the one thing that Rutgers has going for them is, one, they do just have a lot of really good wins according to the computers. And for people who don't follow college basketball day in and day out, unfortunately, I do think too much of the selection process now is based on computers and metrics and things of that nature. So they have a number of good wins. The win-loss record overall isn't great. But then the other thing that I would say, JJ, that's really kind of underrated in all this, they're going to have a ton of chances next week in Indianapolis at the Big East tournament, or Big Ten tournament, to get a bunch of good wins. So for people who don't know, the NCAA selection committee has this thing called the quadrant system now, and quad one wins are the best wins that you can get in college basketball. There are 10 teams in the Big Ten that will qualify as a quad one win on a neutral court. So essentially what I'm just telling you is, if Rutgers can win literally just one game at the Big Ten tournament — they need to win this weekend too — but if they can just win one game at the Big Ten tournament, that is actually going to be very impactful for their resume. Obviously, if they win two or three, even better. So that's it's tough night in and night out to play in the toughest conference in college basketball. I agree, it is in fact the Big Ten, but the advantage is, of course, that once they get to the Big Ten tournament next week, they are going to have plenty of chances to pick up quality wins.
We have our main man, Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio, breaking down some college basketball, college hoops guru, as the final week of the regular season's upon us. Next week, as good as it gets, championship week. And then that's like the shrimp cocktail before the steak dinner, because then the steak dinner is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in a couple of weeks, which for my money, the best 4 days in all of sports. Aaron, you know I'm an ACC guy now, because my alma mater, Syracuse, has now made their way to the ACC. But, normally you look at the conference, the ACC is getting 7, 8, 9 teams into the field. This has got to be, dude, the worst ACC, not at the top, because the top three teams are elite. You throw in a Virginia who has found themselves. They're going to be, a dangerous team come March. But the rest of the conference leaves a lot to be desired. Have you ever seen, Aaron, since, conference realignment and whatnot, the ACC be as mediocre as it's been?
Yeah, I got to say, JJ, I give you a ton of credit. There's so many big storylines in college basketball, and for you to be talking about a mid-major conference on your show at a time like this is just, it's just really impressive. Your basketball knowledge – no, I'm kidding. But, listen, it is. It's the worst that it's ever been, and I'll tell you this, is that I think it's going to hurt – Duke in the NCAA tournament. I think it's going to hurt Louisville in the NCAA tournament. They just aren't battle-tested in the way that teams in the Big Ten, teams in the Big East. I'll take it a step further. Teams in the Pac-12, I think, are more battle-tested right now than in the ACC. Again, I referenced the quad system, which is the new system that the NCAA tournament selection committee is using. Duke and Louisville both only have 4 quad one wins. Okay, so what does that mean? Those are the best wins you can have. 4 is not very many at this time of year. For example, Dayton, who everybody says doesn't play anybody, also has 4 quad one wins. Kansas, has 11 quad one wins. And so the point I'm trying to make is that this is just not a strong conference this year. It's a number of different factors. Carolina being down, Virginia taking a while to get going, some of those middle tier programs, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame taking a step back. But not only is it the worst that it has been, I really do believe that it's going to hurt some of these teams when they actually make the tournament, because they just aren't going to be used to the competition level that they're going to be facing when they get into that field of 68.
Very interesting stuff. Now, for most of the audience, Aaron, you got to understand this. They have not seen a whole lot of San Diego State. They have not seen a whole lot of Dayton. It is going to be kind of a shell shock for many when they're watching Selection Sunday and maybe they see San Diego State or they see Dayton on the one line. So I'll ask you, because you're into this, you're watching these teams, you're out on the West Coast, so you've seen San Diego State a ton. Who, in your opinion, is the team that's got a better chance to go and win a championship this year? Is it San Diego State or is it Dayton?
Well, it's really interesting because San Diego State — so first of all, normally I would say San Diego State — they have a 7-foot center named Nathan Mensah, who, when they were peaking, and they peaked early in the season, but they beat that Creighton team that you mentioned that has a chance to, you know, is at the top of the Big East standings, Iowa at the top of the Big Ten standings. San Diego State beat both of those teams, but they were at 100% full strength. And what's interesting about them, this center Nathan Mensah, who really provides a big shot-blocking, rebounding presence, he's been out the last 2 or 3 weeks, and there is talk that he will be back for the Mountain West Tournament and into the NCAA Tournament. And so, statistically, he's not a player that you think is going to be a huge X factor, but he really, actually, absolutely 100% is, because what makes San Diego State unique is just because they're a quote-unquote mid-major, you know, they have the size and athleticism of a Big Ten, ACC, Big 12 type team. And so getting him back is key. Dayton, for people who haven't seen Dayton, listen, they just shoot the you-know-what out of the ball. Everybody on the court can shoot three-pointers. And the kid Obi Toppin is for real, man. I know he's from up there in your neck of the woods, Long Island area, JJ. And I'll just tell you right now, I know it's not being talked about. I really believe that by draft time, I think we could be talking about this kid as the number one overall pick in a year where Anthony Edwards didn't step up the way we thought, in the way that James Wiseman, we haven't seen him on a basketball court basically since his high school career. And so Obi Toppin is going to be the best player in this tournament. I think people are going to be impressed by him, similar to Ja Morant last year. If you haven't seen him, you're going to be blown away day one, day two of that tournament. And when you have the best player in the tournament, you have a chance to win big. So, yes, these two teams, as crazy as it sounds, especially in a year where the Dukes and the Kentuckys aren't as good as normal, those two teams can get to a Final Four in Atlanta and maybe compete to win that national championship.
Big 12 is going to have two number one seeds, Kansas, Baylor. They played a terrific game a few weeks back. We know how tough Kansas can be with their size and their defense. Out of those two, Aaron, who do you like more?
So it's crazy. First of all, quick plug. I do a College Hoops podcast. Thursday morning, I will be having Baylor coach Scott Drew on the podcast.
There you go. We will be checking that one out. So Scott Drew Thursday. I like the sound of that, my friend.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually recording with him very early in the morning. It'll be out midday. But so here's the deal, and it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about this before I got on the phone with you, JJ. I think Kansas should be the favorite going into the tournament. You know, if nothing happens in the next 10 days, nothing crazy, no suspensions, no injuries, God forbid. But I also think that out of all the favorites, they have some very tangible weaknesses, which is, one, you referenced that Baylor-Kansas game, and that was kind of the national coming out party for the big center, Udoka Azubuike. You know, I think he had 23-19, maybe that sounds about right. That guy's a 43% free throw shooter, JJ. And I was amazed that Baylor continued to let him go to the rim uncontested for those big power dunks. And I do wonder, does a team get savvy? Do they go hack a Shaq on Kansas and force this guy to make foul shots to beat him? And if they do, will Kansas have to take their best player off the court in the most important moments of the game? So to me, I think Kansas has a real weakness as they get into the tournament. Baylor, listen, it was not their best day. If that was your first time watching Baylor, their second leading scorer was coming off an injury. They missed a bunch of foul shots. That's a good team. They defend. They get scoring from all five spots. I like that team. I think Kansas at their best is probably the best team in the country and better than Baylor. But I don't think it's unfair to say that, as I just referenced a minute ago, Kansas does, in fact, have some real issues that will be interesting to see how they address when the bracket, when the tournament starts.
Aaron Torres, check him out, Fox Sports Radio. He's got an unbelievable College Hoops podcast. Going to have Scott Drew on later in the week. And Aaron, before we get you out of here, so conference tournaments the next week. Who is the team in one of the Power Five conferences, similar to what Oregon did last year, where Oregon going in was not on anybody's radar? They were not one of the first four out, next four out, whatever. They got crazy hot. They won a bunch of games. They made it all the way to the championship and beat Washington. If there is a team right now in any of the Power Five that is not really sniffing the tournament but could go on that sort of run, is there one that we should be looking at?
Yeah, completely outside of the bracket. You know, the only one that comes to mind, JJ, is I will say this. Arkansas right now is on the wrong side of the bubble. I don't think they need to win the SEC tournament to get to the NCAA tournament, and I don't think they will win the SEC tournament. They do need to win more games, but the reason I bring them up, They have a kid named Isaiah Joe, who probably, if he declares this year, will be a second-round draft pick, but universally believed to be an NBA prospect. He missed about six games during this season, and Arkansas went 1-5 in those games, which is why they find themselves on the bubble right now. And so I bring them up because if they can get into the field, they shoot the ball really well, they play really fast, and they can score. And, you know, the thing about the NCAA tournament that I always say is to advance in this tournament, you got to be able to score. At some point, no matter how good your defense is, the other team's going to get hot, and do you have guys that'll answer? And so I bring it up because Arkansas, they scored 90 points tonight, Wednesday night into Thursday as we're recording here, JJ. And that's a team, if they get into the tournament, and I'm not positive they will, they're going to play fast and they're going to score points. And for a lot of teams, that is going to be a big time kind of reality and adjustment once the tournament starts. There's other teams that are interesting. UCLA is fascinating. But in terms of teams that are outside completely off the bubble, I would put Arkansas as that team that if they get in, it would not shock me at all to see him in the Sweet 16.
Our good pal, Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, unbelievable insight. We will catch up next week, my friend, out in Las Vegas. There's a lot of games to watch. There's a lot of money to be made. Appreciate a couple minutes. We will catch up very soon.
All right. Thank you, JJ. Appreciate it always, my man.
There you have it. Good stuff there from Aaron Torres over at Fox Sports Radio. Great perspective on the college hoops.